Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Peaches, flake, or two.
It is a two for Tuesday. That means two Red Sox tickets for you every single hour all day today. And I will give the first pair of Red Sox tickets away momentarily, and then another pair at 9:30. And Gresh and Foye will do the same every hour during their show starting at 10 before they head to Detroit for live coverage of the draft. In fact, I should probably, should I give those away right now, Shime, right before we get to Sophia, or should I wait till we are in mid-conversation with Sophia Yerkstevich?
I think you could give them away right now. It's pretty close to 8:30.
Close to 8:30? Okay. So if you're caller number 9 right now on the... what?
We have a sounder first, if you would like that, the intro for it.
No, I mean, am I required? Am I contractually required?
I don't know. Ken sent it to me, so normally I just assume that anything Ken sends, I have to play.
I mean, is he micromanaging the program? Like, did he tell you had to?
Oh, no, I mean, this is...
Okay, play the sounder then. Okay. That's fine with me, if you want to play
it. What is it?
It's a twofer Tuesday. Twofer Tuesday.
Let's roll.
I mean, I just said the exact same thing that's in the sounder.
Next time, let's pass.
But that had a little beat to it.
All right, if you're caller number nine right now on the contest line, then you win tickets to see the Red Sox and the Cubs on Friday at Fenway. Call now, and don't forget, you go to a game with me and Wiggy if you're a diehard.
That's right.
That's on May 14th. Mm-hmm. We want to take you to a Sox game. So all you have to do is upload a photo that proves you are indeed a Sox diehard on the contest page at WEEI.com. And we will select a bunch of you and we'll go to the game and we'll sit in the Sam Adams seats out in the Sam Adams deck in right field. And you'll get a table and you get glizzies and you get beer.
And so. Ken has a sounder before Sophia. Do we have that in?
There no sounder required for our next guest, who you see every night when watching the Boston Bruins, from Nesson, Sophia Yerkstevich. Hi, Sophia.
Guys, good to be back. I mean, we went a year apart, and now we're like twice in a week. This is good.
I know. And thank you for coming to Basic Brunch on Sunday. Listeners loved meeting you, by the way.
Hey, that was really great, and I wish I remembered. I think one of the listeners was Matt, but I had a really nice... Matt, it was Matt?
Yep, nailed
Man,
it.
Man, he drove like an hour by himself just to meet everyone, and I thought that was really cool. Had a couple kids. We talked about that. Big, big Bruins fan, so shout out Matt for doing that.
All right, well, we've been talking about last night all morning, so having a little while to sleep on it. Where, from your perspective, was the issue last night with the Boston Bruins?
You know, I think it was actually, I mean, sure, there's always stuff to clean up. Even after game one, they said, you know, they talked about that. But I really do think Jim Montgomery's quote at the end, and I was trying to, like, spit it out on our own show, and I couldn't really get it out. But the Leafs executed better. Effort was the word I used, but that's not the right word. Executed better. And I definitely think the urgency for Toronto was there. Like, it was so obvious. And those little things, that little battle, a little keep in, a little, you know, or not, it's not a little stretch pass, but obviously that move that Matthews made over McAvoy, if that puck, you know, we were talking about, if that puck was on the ice, McAvoy would have had a little bit, you know, more of a chance to get it. But these little smart plays and the reads that the Leafs made, I think, just out-efforted and executed the Boston Bruins. So, yeah, they have stuff to clean up, but you can tell the Leafs are like, we are not going home with down 2-0 just because of the series. And that would just put the Bruins, you know, give them so much more leverage. So I think it was really that desperation.
I think using the word effort is spot on. Like, I didn't feel like they came out, at least in that first period, with the same effort that they had on Saturday night. So
that's true. And the energy was lower. The energy was definitely lower, like, still playoff vibe, but Saturday was just night and day for sure.
Yeah.
What plays into that, Sophia? Like, that when you're around these guys all the time, like, what plays into them maybe not having the same energy?
You know, that's such a great question, because I've been around so many other teams and through different phases. And for sure, if you're a younger team that, you know, doesn't have that much playoff experience, maybe you got to guard against getting too ahead of yourself. But, like, there's no way that happens with this team. You have, even now, for a short stint, Pat Maroon, Brad Marchand, Charlie Coyle, Pastrnak, they've all been through the ups and downs of series. So you don't have to worry about ever them being like, oh, we got this 5-1, game one. No one's thinking that. Everyone knows how talented the Toronto Maple Leafs are, despite the storylines from, you know, their media. It's a good question, because I was in the room that morning for morning skate. And, yeah, the energy, the practice, the focus, everything is on point. But I really think, and this might sound like a cop-out answer, but I just feel like most people can relate. Like, if you're not as desperate, literally, because you're up 1-0 and you're at home, like, you just sometimes can't manufacture it as well as the other team can. And again, I keep kind of flipping it over to the Leafs, but it's that they just wouldn't and couldn't, you know, they were so desperate, as if it was maybe even a game seven. And I know that also sounds like an exaggeration, but I just mean mentally, like, you know, especially when they came out in the third, they're like, we are not leaving this building with a loss. And if you don't have that same urgency, you just can't manufacture that. Not saying that the Bruins sat back, not saying any of that. It's more of like, just that little edge will help you.
Sophia, there were varying reports last night on whether or not the team and the goalies knew that there would be a rotation going into this series. Have you heard anything? And do you think that Montgomery knew going in what he was going to do, and everybody was on the same page?
I think the team did know what they were going to do, but I think it was subject to change, obviously. So game one would dictate a lot of maybe what the thought process was. I do think everyone was on the same page, and Linus Allmark said in the scrum yesterday that he knew on Sunday that he'd be playing. So what I think is going to happen, and what I think happened last season, you guys remember, the rotation was working all year. They didn't go with it in the playoffs. You know, last year's a different monster, but several factors played into that. And maybe one of them was the fact that they didn't go with the rotation. Then all of a sudden, Jeremy Swayman had to step in, and, you know, maybe he's in his head about it because there's so much pressure. So I think they really want to avoid that. And they're obviously planning a deep run. And that's something that I keep forgetting, because I was thinking, like, oh, maybe ride the hot goalie for a bit and then bring in, you know, the other guy, whoever it is. But if you're planning on going all the way to the final, you want to work what's been working for the season, and you want to keep both guys fresh. So I really do think that was the plan, and they stuck to it. And now the question keeps going, who's going to be for game three? I think it's going to be Swayman, and they're going to keep going with the rotation.
Does the loss of Peak influence maybe what they're going to do moving forward? Because it seems like they're going to do a rotation for this entire series, but losing a guy on defense like that, is that going to impact Montgomery's decision?
Yeah, I mean, Peak, first of all, is a huge loss for sure. And I know he's also, you know, trade deadline pickup, newer to the team, but just some grit in front of the net, which we've seen a lot, the PK minutes, like, this is a really big loss. But no, I don't think that's going to affect goalies at all. I think the team, and Razor was saying this with Brick yesterday on the show too, one of the things you notice, and most teams don't have the luxury of having two number ones, is that teams, even though they say they don't, they try not to, they do sometimes play differently in front of each guy. But these guys have played, you know, two full seasons in front of both. They play the same way. So peak, being in or out, I don't think that affects the goalies at all.
Sophia, when you look at, and I know there's kind of been a little bit of, and I believe you guys talked about it on the broadcast last night, the two power play units and the fact that you kind of broke up Pasta and Marchand not being on the same unit. What's your take on that? Do you like that? Do you like the way they're handling their power play, their units now?
Oh, yeah. I love it. And it's, you know, maybe it takes a bit of, you know, obviously it took a while because they made that decision with two games left in the regular season. They didn't draw power play at all versus Washington. So you're going into the last game versus Ottawa being like, is this going to work? Is this not? It needs to work. And it's been very successful compared to what we were seeing. And it's not just the goals that have been scored. What the issue was and what we were really talking about in the room with Jim Montgomery, it was very stale, the one with that they were using most of the season with Marchand and Pasta. And they were trying to even move the guys around, have them in different positions, Pasta flip to the other side. You know, Marchand would come up top. But they weren't moving the puck fast enough, and they were overthinking their decisions. And it really is, to have a successful power play, it's those quick passes and those quick decisions and puck management, obviously, because then you kind of have to like rattle the other team's PK where they don't know where the puck is going to go and they can't predict it. And that's kind of what was happening with Marchand and Pasta on the same unit, sometimes McAvoy, sometimes Shattenkirk up top. This has been an excellent change. It's fresh. It's obviously we've seen some success with it, and both units now, you know, have opportunities. So you're putting out, you know, they call it the 1A, 1B. Whereas before, the first power play unit might be out there for like 113 and the other would be out for 45. But the time the first one was done, they were kind of gassed and tired, and the second one didn't have a lot of chance to set up. In this case, they're trying to kind of make it a minute on each if they're not getting anything with the first one. And those extra 20 seconds really make a difference with freshness and with looks and, like I said, with passes and speed. So you really have two, you know, first units out there, and I think they should keep sticking with it because it's been way more successful than the way it was working before.
You mentioned briefly some of the veterans on this team. Curtis brought it up earlier. I think that was you, Curtis. You know, is this a young team, and do they miss some veteran leadership when it comes to Bergeron, Krejci, et cetera? And is that an issue, you think?
Yep.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think you're always going to miss Bergeron. I think you'll always miss someone like Bergeron just because of who he is on the ice and his experience, obviously, and Krejci as well. But, you know, that ship has sailed, so it's, you know, it's not looking back. I'm just saying that, yeah, obviously that's a loss in the room. But, I think Marchand, by the way, I've talked to him so many times, you know, outside of the mic and off the mic. And he's done a really great job. He said it was a way bigger learning curve than he thought, becoming the captain, but he's done a really good job handling it and in the room as well. And, you know, that's why you have your alternates too, right? You kind of spread out that responsibility. It's obviously going to be a new challenge now in the postseason. We know he's a really emotional guy. I think one of the keys is making a room, you know, feed and vibe off of your emotion. But if your emotion's not in check, and he's definitely learned that though, but he runs the risk of that. If it's not in check, then maybe, and you're panicked, then, you know, that could spread. But Pat Maroon, whatever people say, I don't know if fans love him or not. I mean, I love him. I think he's a great pickup. And that experience, it's so funny because you see teams that are younger around the league, that are great, that have this talent. We've seen that with, you know, Edmonton that can't get past a certain point. Back then, the Tampa Bay Lightning who've since won. But you really need that playoff experience. Like, you need it mentally, you need it physically, and obviously Pat Maroon has so much of it. Marchand has so much of it. He's just second behind him in games played, I think 148, and Pat now has 152, which is huge. And yeah, and Pasta's been through it. Pasta's not this, like, he's still flashy, he's still young, and he's still excellent, but he's not this inexperienced young flashy kid. And even someone younger like Charlie McAvoy has been through it. So yes, there's some youth. Jake DeBrusk, I can keep going. There's some youth on this team because we're looking at some of these younger, talented guys. But they're not, you know, Matt Potter, who's out, but they're not fresh like him. 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. They've been through these experiences. And that, I don't think there's anything more valuable than that. You can be the most skilled guy, but if you haven't kind of been through the ups and downs, you're going to have to learn the hard way.
Isn't it possible that Marchand is dealing with something injury-wise? Like, it just does not... It has not for the last month and a half seemed like the same player.
That's funny you say that. If so, it's extremely tight-lipped around the team, and there's not been a lot of talk, you know, about that in the room, at least as I when I've been there. No, I would say, I'm just going to go out and say no, but I mean, good observation. I'll pay more attention to that for sure. You know, the production has slowed down. There was a while where we were like, he's going to get 400 today. And it felt like forever. Finally, yeah. You know, finally happened. It felt like we were jinxing him, obviously overthinking that maybe a little bit. But a lot of his points, too, did come on the power play. And not, you know, that's not to say that that's why. But when it was struggling and Pasta had the same problem with points on the power play, that might, like, affect the numbers. But I think, Greg, are you kind of giving it the eye test? Do you feel like you're seeing it more?
Well, I have an issue with my glasses. I don't know if you noticed on Sunday, but okay. I have scotch tape on my glasses. So
he looks like he's moving around.
Yeah.
Well, decent. I mean, the only one who looks like they're skating in water
Pat
is
Maroon.
Yeah. And he went down hard last night.
I was moving faster at the brunch than he was.
He went hard. He went down hard last night. I felt bad. He landed right on his back.
Poor ice.
Sophia, just back to the peak injury quickly. Have you gotten any update internally on if he'll be available for game 3? And if not, do you think the best option is for them to call up Lowry or what would you do?
Oh, good question. No, I have not gotten any update. They'll be taking the ice a little later or taken to the plane a little later this afternoon. I'm staying in Boston, by the way, to host. So it'll be Adam Pellerin who's going to get all that information. But no internal update. And yeah, like I said, big loss for sure. You have Lowry as an option. Forbert's traveling to Toronto. He played in those two AHL games. They said the first one was rusty. The second one was better. He's been out for a while, had two surgeries. So, you know, but also familiar with the team and a veteran of sorts. So has playoff experience, maybe a little, if he's healthy enough, maybe that's a little less risque. And also has similar, I wouldn't say style, because, yeah, Forbert, Peak, Lowry, all kind of different. But I think that Peak and Forbert are closer in what you'd see as style and replacing that. But Lowry is absolutely an option, and we forgot we've got Parker Wotherspoon as well, who's been really good all season, obviously been sitting recently, but it's not like he's a brand new option that they haven't seen. That decision, Courtney, I will leave up to the coaching staff, but those are your three options, and for sure I do anticipate them calling up Lowry if Peak is injured and like is going to sit for game 3, then I see that happening.
Speaking of staying in Boston and hosting from Boston, a texter who apparently is watching you very intently wants to know if you will, I haven't noticed this, but do you wear black on purpose all the time, and will you continue or will you switch will you switch that up? Is that an intention?
Okay. Listen to this. This is so funny. To the caller, no, I do not wear black on purpose. I do wear a lot of black, but after basic brunch on Sunday, I was thinking that. I was like, here's what the viewers don't see. They see my tops and that's it. So like pants, shoes, you know, whatever. That's all I get to show. And there's only so much variety, right? If you're doing a whole outfit, you can do black pants, white shirt, you know, whatever, blue, green. But it's either like pants you never see. So that's off the market. And all I have is tops. So after basic brunch, I actually went shopping for that very reason. Because I was like, damn, I wear black all the time. And I pulled out my options. I got three new colors. So if I can get some clapping, that'd be really
all
nice.
Right. Three okay. new colors. All right. All right. Good.
A little
right.
bit of yellow.
Yeah.
Black and colors.
Black and gold.
Purple. All right.
Purple, reddish, kind of pink, and white, which isn't a color, mm-hmm. but it's not black. So to the viewer, I'm sorry. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be saying sorry, but I hear you. I got it.
No, you're always dressed perfectly. Don't listen to anyone.
100%. No, I think they were thinking it was in intentional.
Oh, okay.
And wondering if it was like a game day ritual thing.
Razor had some drip on last night. His jacket was
so nice.
Yeah, his jacket was straight
I didn't
fire.
Want to sexualize him, but I did notice that.
Holy hell.
It was like a...
Well, people were saying that I was doing that when we were talking about Angel Reese. They were like, you sexualize Razor all the time.
Don't listen
said,
to people.
Nope.
It's like a burgundy
you do
velour.
You do talk a lot on the show about how attractive
he's
Razor
a handsome
is.
Man.
He just has skinny legs.
Yeah. Nope, never said that.
Yeah.
Chicken sticks.
Sophia's like, what is going on?
No, I love it.
No. All right. Well, the Bruins head to Toronto, and we'll see what happens.
Must win.
It's not a must win.
I think it is.
You do?
Because you don't want to. Sophia talked about, you know, energy and playing. Desperately, you don't want to go down 2-1 and game four still being there, knowing that
need one in Toronto and then they're fine.
Yeah, but you always want to get the first one. You can go up 2-1 in the series, and like Sophia said, you might have a little bit of room of breathing.
Okay,
I would say if I can add in, I would say definitely agree with that thought. But if we're talking about who can collapse a lot easier, it's definitely, mentally, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I feel like if they win game three and then the Bruins, you know, tie it up or whatever in game four, I think that's going to be way harder for them to get over than if it was flip side. Like, they fall apart. And I hate perpetuating that storyline because it is a bit old. You know, we're talking about 2013. Like, that's a different team right now. But it's still true for that room. So, I agree. I mean, you don't want to go in being like, oh, if we don't win this one, whatever. Like, you want to treat it like a must win, but it's Toronto that would lose it in their heads if it kind of went the other way around and then, you know, came back to Boston. So let's treat it as a must win and leave it at that so that the urgency, the effort, the execution, all those words are there.
You are so great to come on the show. Thank you as always. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you again during the playoffs.
All right, guys. Bye.
All right. There she is. The great Sophia Yurkstevich knows more hockey than anybody that there is.
Yeah, they do a good job in the intermission.
She is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. We will be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.